The draft is just 27 hours away. Welcome to the 2016 NFL Draft coverage here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Dietz and Watson. I'm Chris McPherson, alongside former Eagles linebacker Ike Reese. We know that the Eagles will select number two overall in the 2016 NFL Draft. The only question now is, who will be the selection? Will it be quarterback Jared Goff from California, or will it be Carson Wentz, the signal caller from North Dakota State? This is the first of 4 days of complete and total draft coverage featuring insight, analysis, and behind-the-scenes access of a draft, Ike, that will surely alter the future of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And each year when the teams come into the draft, they're looking to set their future up in a positive light. And the Eagles have done a great job this year. Listen, they moved up from the 13th pick all the way to the second pick. That's not very easy to do. They've gotten that accomplished. They're sitting in a pretty good position to get potentially the quarterback of their future. And the other things they've done in the offseason as far as putting themselves in position to compete this upcoming season, I think they did a pretty good job with that as well.
Indeed, Ike. Now, Dave Spadaro will go one-on-one with Doug Peterson, who is about to embark on his first draft as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. For a look inside the film room at what these two quarterbacks, Goff and Wentz, bring to the table, we will have NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell and Fran Duffy on hand, and Ike and I will take a look at the later parts of the draft and some of the players the Eagles might target. Now, Ike, the last time that we were together here, it was the end of the 2015 season, one that ended with a 7-9 record without a playoff appearance for the second straight season. The Eagles had already at that point moved on from Chip Kelly and began a process that would land them your former teammate in Doug Peterson.
Yeah, excited about Doug becoming the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, he's a former teammate of mine. Wish him well, want to see him do well. But I think part of what the Eagles wanted to do was get back to accountability, get back to being a franchise that's all about doing things the way in a high-class manner. And I think with Doug Peterson here running the show, I think you're going to have everyone on board with his directives, with his vision as to where he sees this football team. And for me, we get to go back to playing sort of that smash-mouth football, so to speak, because being an Andy Reid disciple, as Doug Peterson is, I remember those training camps. I remember what it was like. So, and I'm sure Doug does as well, and I'm pretty sure Doug will use a lot of that, what he's learned under Andy Reid, as far as building a football team.
All right, so again, the Eagles have the number two overall pick, but they've taken a long-term view with that position to get their signal caller of the future. In the meantime, they've built themselves up for success in 2016 by re-signing players like Vinnie Curry and Malcolm Jenkins on defense to long-term deals. On the offensive side of the ball, Lane Johnson at tackle, tight end Zach Ertz getting long-term contracts, especially tight end Brent Celek as well. And then in free agency, the team filled holes with players like guard Brandon Brooks, cornerback Leois McKelvin, safety Rodney McLeod, and linebacker Nigel Bradham. So Ike, the Eagles go into this season very competitive with a chance to still win the NFC East, but at the same time, they haven't sacrificed themselves for the long haul.
No, and I think more importantly, they are building a culture that's a winning culture in their eyes, a culture of unselfishness. The guys that they brought in here aren't guys that are what would be considered the Class A free agents where you're getting these big contracts and you have to worry about whether or not the guy's hunger would still remain there. They're bringing in guys that still have something to prove. They gave up guys like Maxwell and Kiko Alonso, DeMarco Murray, to be able to be where they are in the draft. So you had to replace three starters. I think they've done a great job of that. And again, they brought in team guys. I think back to 2013 when they signed guys like Malcolm Jenkins, when they brought in a guy like Connor Barwin. These are guys that produce winning cultures. And I think they went out and brought those type of guys in this offseason as well.
All right, so enough of looking back at the past. How about the future for the Philadelphia Eagles? After our first break here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Dietz and Watson, Dave Spadaro goes one-on-one with the head coach, Doug Peterson.
Love me tender.
No one's ever fallen 50% in love.
Never
or cared for somebody with only part of their heart. Love means you're all in.
Faith.
but not all alone. Lincoln Financial helps you provide for and protect your financial future, because this is what you do for people you love. Talk to an advisor. Lincoln Financial. You're in charge.
Are you ready to experience the most live sports like never before? With the sports app on X1 from Xfinity, you can track live scores and easily switch between closed games.
Oh, I love that. All on one screen. I'm a fan.
Anywhere that you have Wi-Fi, you can stream live games on any device.
So I can stream three different games at the same time and catch the scores on every single one. That's kind of cool.
X1 will change the way you experience TV. Switch to the Xfinity X1 Triple Play and save when you bundle. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Xfinity.com/sports.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I step to Philly. The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly.
So, Doug, your thoughts, we haven't talked, your thoughts on the trade that went down last week and what it means for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, first of all, you know, you're always looking in the draft. You're always looking to better your football team. And anytime you can make a move like this to get a top player that can come in and potentially help your football team, whether it's right away or down the road, you're always, you know, turning over every possibility, looking for every opportunity to make yourself better.
How extensive was the research on Jared and on Carson? Can you kind of quantify everything?
It was. It's been very. It's still ongoing, but it's been very, very sort of exhausting. But we have to be diligent. We have to trust our scouts who've seen these players in games. We have to trust our coordinators, our position coaches, and just comes down to, you know, all the conversations that you have and having them here on a 30 visit and, you know, talking to people outside of the building that know these people or have, you know, crossed paths with these quarterbacks. So. It's an extensive process. It's an ongoing process to this day, and you know, just looking forward to Thursday.
From what you know so far, Doug, tell me about Jared Goff and Carson Wentz.
I tell you what. First of all, they're great human beings. That's the first thing that I'll say. And then on top of that, they're good football players. They're both leaders of their schools, respectively. We know Carson and his success that he has there at North Dakota State and the championships that he's been a part of. He's, you know, he's proven that he can win at that level. And you know, Jared Goff is a guy that has fought through adversity early in his career. He's coming out young. He's a junior. And you know, but again, he's a guy that's kind of prevailed. He's stuck with it. He got his team into a bowl game last year. Both of these guys are tremendous leaders on and off the football field. And either one of these two kids, they will learn by example. You also have to give them enough reps during your OTAs and your training camp, too, to bring them along. But a lot of it the first year is kind of what they see and how they process the information relatively fast.
So it's a mental improvement, really, getting ready for the NFL level.
It is. It is more so mental than it is physical, especially at the quarterback position, because if you're considered one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the draft, well, we know you can play the position. Now coming in, learning the little nuances and what does that look like being a face of a franchise? What does that look like being the first, second, or, you know, a top draft pick as a quarterback? Because all eyes are on the quarterback, and both of these guys can handle that position very well.
Doug, you've had a chance to work with these guys through phase one, through a mini camp as well. Early thoughts on what you think you have on this roster?
Well, right now, I'm you know, obviously, I can't say enough about the hard work and the what they've put in these first 3 weeks and seeing the guys out on the football field and how well they competed and what they're taking from the classroom to the field is really something that has caught my attention. There's not a ton of mental mistakes. Guys are going in the right direction. You're getting to see for the first time receivers, quarterbacks, timing, the tight ends. You're seeing secondary guys. You're seeing two safeties, you know, Rodney McLeod, and you're seeing Malcolm back there communicating. You're seeing some young corners, you know, playing. And it's great to see a Jordan Hicks back out there in middle linebacker in a communication level. And those are the things you want to see, and it's been a pleasant surprise coming out of this first camp.
Doug, there's a narrative out there that the Eagles are looking more toward the future than trying to be competitive in 2016. What are your thoughts on that?
We're going to be competitive in day one. Our focus is Cleveland opening day. You know, my message to the team has been that way. It'll always be that way. If you're not all, the other thing too is if you're not preparing for the future, you're going to get yourself beat. And you got to continually look down the road. You got to continue to bring guys in here, whether they're free agents or draft picks, because there's going to be a season next year. There's going to be one in 18. But the message is Cleveland, opening day. Let's get ready for that with this team that we have.
You are the head coach for the first time. You've stood in front of the room for the first time, addressing an entire team. You've prepared for the draft as the head coach for the first time. What's it been like?
It's been a lot of fun, you know, and that's the thing. I think that the message that I was received, you know, from mentors around the league was number one, have fun, be yourself. And this process is definitely not a track meet. It's a marathon. And for me, it's different because I'm looking at offense, defense, special teams, players, and trying to put all those pieces together and listening to how our coaches evaluate, how our personnel staff evaluates players. And it's been exciting to be able to put all these pieces and then eventually come to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, see how it all unfolds.
Well, good luck this weekend. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for dining with us. Hope to see you again soon. Thanks.
Whoa. I got this. Just got to reach the check. Almost there.
I can't reach it.
If you have alligator arms, you avoid picking up the check.
What?
It's what you do.
I got this.
Thanks, Dennis.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico.
Ow.
It's what you do.
Ow, that is good crispy duck.
Love me tender.
We can like many, but we can love only a precious few. Because it is for those precious few that you have to be willing to do so very much. But you don't have to do it alone. Lincoln Financial helps you provide for and protect your financial future. Because this is what you do for people you love. Talk to an advisor. Lincoln Financial. You're in charge.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport Line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I step to Philly.
The Broad Street Line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly.
Welcome back to Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson here. I'm Chris McPherson alongside Ike Reese. Now, we know that the Eagles wanted to make the quarterback position a priority this offseason. They re-signed Sam Bradford, added Chase Daniel in free agency, and traded up to number two overall to select either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. Two very different prospects, but what do they bring to the table? Let's go inside the film room as Greg Cosell and Fran Duffy are standing by to break down the X's and O's of the top two quarterback prospects.
Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome inside the film room here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Fran Duffy, joined once again by Greg Cosell from NFL Films. And Greg, we're going to close out this series on the top draft prospects in this year's draft with the quarterback position. And lots of traits go into successful quarterback play in the NFL. But when you talk about Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, what are the traits that set those two players apart from the rest of the pack here in the 2016 NFL Draft?
Well, let's simplify it first, just to give people a sense. I think when you're talking about quarterback, and this is the Cliff Notes version, you want to be able to throw it to the right receiver at the right time with the right kind of throw.
That helps.
Or it's when you throw it, where you throw it, and how you throw it.
Sure.
That's what you're really talking about at the quarterback position. Now, when you look at Carson Wentz, I think you're looking at a player with high-level physical traits. When he drops back and delivers the football, he throws with tremendous body torque. He has a really firm base. The player I'd compare him to in that sense is a Carson Palmer. He throws it with a really strong base and with natural torque. His core comes forward, and therefore he can throw the ball with great velocity without much effort. And I think that is so critical for a quarterback because in this league, and a lot of people like to talk about the relative merits of arm strength matters in the NFL. Now, do you need a hose? No. But there are certain throws you have to make that require arm strength. Wentz has that. Goff is a different player, Jared Goff from California. Goff is for a better way to describe it, he's more of a finesse quarterback. I think he's a guy that has good feet in the pocket. I think he has a good understanding of his offense. He played in the air raid. He wasn't asked to deal with protections at the line of scrimmage at all. He wasn't asked to really deal a whole lot with coverage concepts. He's what we call a pure progression reader. He's looking at his receivers. If one is open, you throw it. If not, then you go to two or go to three. The defense is not that concerning to him. Goff has some very refined pocket traits, but he's not a big-time thrower.
So when you talk about the physical traits with Carson Wentz, you got to talk about the mental traits, too.
Absolutely.
Talk about, you know, and when you translate quarterbacks to the NFL, the ability to play in a pro-style offense obviously helps to project that a little bit. And you talk about Carson Wentz and his ability to make checks at the line of scrimmage, change plays right before the snap, and read defenses and see what they're getting ready to do. That really is what elevates him from some of the other players in this class.
Besides the high-level physical traits.
Sure.
But you make a great point. Because Carson Wentz, when he was given the play call by his coaching staff, he was given everything but the protection. He would set the protection when he got to the line of scrimmage. So he has experience in researching and investigating the defense and deciding then what he needs to do from a pass protection standpoint. That is absolutely critical in the National Football League.
Well, that'll do it. And another great segment here from NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. I'm Fran Duffy. Thanks again for joining us inside the film room on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Great analysis there from Fran and Greg. And again, you're going to see that all weekend long here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson. Now, Ike, by all accounts, all the mock drafts, all the analysts have Jared Goff going number one to the Los Angeles Rams. If for some reason Goff goes to number two to the Eagles, what does he bring to the table?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a kid, when you look at his arm strength, when you look at the quick release that he has, I think that's what sort of sets him apart. I think that that quick release, the ability to throw the ball from one hash to the other, and the very fact, you know, that he played in an offense that some think it was quarterback friendly. Well, when you don't have a ton of talent around you, it's not very friendly to you. And he started from a freshman where he went 1-11, got his brains beat in, didn't miss a game. I mean, displayed toughness, and he got better each year. I think that's the biggest thing I like about Jared Goff, is that from his freshman year, where there wasn't very much talent around him, to about the time he's coming out this year, he was better in just about every area of his game. And the toughness is something you can't understate, because when you're a young quarterback and you're particularly being drafted high in the draft, you're not going to be going to the best situation as far as team-wise, and you may get knocked down a lot in that first year, and you're going to have to display some toughness of getting up. So when you look at his numbers through 3 years, you're talking about 90-something plus touchdowns. He does not turn the ball over very much. I think he has, 15 interceptions throughout his career. This is a kid that in his final year, he threw 40-something touchdowns to 10 interceptions. The win-loss record doesn't really tell the whole story. But I think if you watch his play and how he was able to enhance the play of others around him, I think he got the most out of the talent that was around him. And when you look at his skill set, it can only get better when he gets to the pro game.
I love his moxie and the fact that he started as a true freshman.
Yeah.
First true freshman to ever start at California, and he helped bring that program back to respectability. Now, how about the pride of Bismarck, North Dakota, who starred for the last 2 years in Fargo at North Dakota State, Carson Wentz, who went 20-3 as a starter and carried the Bison to back-to-back national championships?
Well, you know, instead of me trying to sell you on how he dominated the FCS level and he won two national championships at that level, I'll tell you this. This is what I like about Carson Wentz. A, I love his size. You're talking about a guy that's 6'5", 235 pounds. He's better than an average athlete. 4'7", 40 is nothing to sneeze at when you're talking about a quarterback. And here's the other thing. He can make all the throws. He has a big enough arm. He played up there in Fargo, North Dakota. And here's the other thing. When you talk about preparation, when you're talking about being a student of the game, when you're talking about being the type of leader that you want to have an impact on the players around him, I don't think you can find a better guy than Carson Wentz. You look at his track record from his time in college to even his time in high school. I don't think the kid ever received anything lower than an A as a student. So when you have this type of work ethic in the classroom and it translates out on the field, I mean, the physical attributes are enough to get him drafted high. But when you bring in the work ethic, there's no reason why, I mean, it's no wonder why everyone's drooling over Carson Wentz, even though he played at North Dakota State. Guys with this ability and this football acumen don't come around very often.
All right, Ike, we've gone into who will be the number two overall selection in the 2016 NFL Draft, but who could the Eagles pick on days two and three? The last six rounds, of course, there are still six prospects there, six draft picks there for the Eagles to select. Some key players there will be had for the Eagles, and we'll get into those after our final break here on Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson.
Love me tender.
No one's ever fallen 50% in love.
Never.
Or cared for somebody with only part of their heart. Love means you're all in, but not all alone. Lincoln Financial helps you provide for and protect your financial future, because this is what you do for people you love. Talk to an advisor. Lincoln Financial. You're in charge.
Thank you for dining with us. Hope to see you again soon. Thank you so much.
Whoa. I got this. Just gotta reach the check. Almost there.
I can't reach it.
If you have alligator arms, you avoid picking up the check.
What?
That's what you do.
I got this.
Thanks, Dennis.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico.
Ow.
It's what you do.
Oh, that is good crispy duck.
Are you ready to experience the most live sports like never before? With the sports app on X1 from Xfinity, you can track live scores and easily switch between close games.
Oh, I love that. All on one screen. I'm a fan.
Anywhere that you have Wi-Fi, you can stream live games on any device.
So I can stream three different games at the same time and catch the scores on every single one. That's kind of cool.
X1 will change the way you experience TV. Switch to the Xfinity X1 Triple Play and save when you bundle. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Xfinity.com/sports.
Welcome back to Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson. Okay, enough of the first round. I know that's the round that everyone's obsessed with. Everyone wants to know who's going to be the number two overall pick. But the Eagles have six other picks in the 2016 NFL Draft, the next one coming in the third round. So, Ike, you were a mid-round pick yourself back in the day. You had a nice NFL career, to say the very least. Who are some players who could maybe get shunned in the first round on the first day, but be potential impact players down the line?
And let me just say this first and foremost. When you look at any of the 32-team rosters in this league, the majority of their roster is made up of third to fourth and fifth round draft picks. That's where you find your long-standing players. And because we traded DeMarco Murray to Tennessee, and now that we're out of position to take the best running back in the draft, because that's not going to happen at two. I still like the running back position to be addressed in that third round. There's a couple guys there. You got C.J. Procise out of Notre Dame, who will certainly be there. The Eagles may like him. But I like Kenyon Drake out of Alabama. Played back up to the Heisman Trophy winner and Derrick Henry. But the reason why I like Kenyon Drake is because he's a speed guy. He's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. He has enough size to run the ball in between the tackles. But more importantly, with Darren Sproles getting a little bit up there, Kenyon Drake has the ability to return punts and kicks as well. So you're talking about a guy that can be a dual or triple threat for you at that running back position. I would keep my eye on him.
Now, Ike, the Eagles have said that they love their top three wide receivers and they've invested a lot in the position, but they still want to add more. They still could use a deep threat. Who are some guys that maybe the Eagles could have in mind?
I got a guy for them. I got two guys, okay? I got Farrell Cooper out of South Carolina. You know, I think he is a fantastic receiver. May not be there in that third or fourth round, maybe there, but a guy who should be there for the Eagles is Braxton Miller, former quarterback out of Ohio State, turned wide receiver. You're talking about a lot of raw athletic ability. He certainly has the speed. And from everybody I've heard talk about Braxton Miller, he has really picked up playing the wide receiver position faster than anticipated. Still has a little work to do there, but when you look at all his physical gifts, once he learns how to run routes precisely and catch the ball with a little more consistently, you could get a steal with Braxton Miller in the third or fourth round.
All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. The Eagles have heavily addressed the secondary and the linebacker core here in free agency. Jim Schwartz, he needs some pass rushers. Give him some added boost up front.
All right. Well, I couldn't get out of this draft sort of talk without getting one of my Michigan State guys in here.
Of course not.
And defensive end Shalique Calhoun will certainly be available there. You're talking about a three-time defensive lineman in the Big Ten Conference. That is a conference that also has Joey Bosa in there. But Shalique Calhoun won that award for 3 years up there at Michigan State. Slightly undersized, so he could be seen as an outside linebacker as well. But he certainly knows how to get after the quarterback. And if the Eagles are looking to add some pass rush to their team, he certainly would be a guy I'm looking at.
All right, I'm going to go to the other side of the line, the offensive line there. So, obviously, the Eagles are set with their five stars up front. But here's a couple of names to watch on days 2 and 3. One guy on the interior, Evan Bain, longtime center for Missouri. I'm going to go to tackle, Sean Coleman from Auburn. Overcame leukemia, a phenomenal story, but a guy who played behind Greg Robinson, the former number 2 overall pick of the Rams. He's going to be the guy in the mix there. And a versatile lineman, you know you got to have guys who could play inside and outside. Alex Lewis, that's a name to watch from Nebraska. So three guys along the offensive line that obviously the Eagles are not going to use the number 2 overall pick on a lineman. So if you're looking for someone in days 2 and 3, those are a couple of names to keep an eye on. So, Ike, this is the beginning of, again, 4 days of wall-to-wall Eagles draft coverage. On Thursday, we come your way starting at 7:30 p.m. with our half-hour preview show. It'll be myself, Ike. We'll have Ross Tucker as well in here. Greg Cosell and Fran Duffy, as well as Dave Spadaro, will be embedded here at the NovaCare Complex. We'll be live beginning at 7:30 and then carry it over to the start of the draft at 8 p.m. And then, of course, the Eagles, hey, they're on the clock with the number 2 overall pick, so we won't have to wait very long to see if Jared Goff or Carson Wentz will be the Eagles' first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft. So, again, make sure to download the Eagles mobile app. And wherever you are this weekend, if you're at the draft party, on vacation, watching at home, that you could follow along with all of our draft coverage. For Ike Reese, I'm Chris McPherson. Everyone, you've been watching Eagles Draft Central, the preview show presented by Deaton Watson. Good night, everyone.